in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Want to read verses 14 through 19. This will not be an unfamiliar text. We've used it before. We'll want to put in a few thoughts. There's always a new thought that will come to mind as we look into a passage. And this is a tremendous admonition that the Apostle Paul gives to young Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your precious word. I thank you that with the command to study, you gave us a book to study. Truth to behold. To apply to our lives. And to use to worship even our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us tonight to read this passage and preach this message. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 14, 2 Timothy 2. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the word will eat as doth a canker. Whom is Hymenaeus and Philegius, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And in this text, and as I said, it's not a new text. We've used it before, but I want to try to approach it and put some new thoughts in that I think are important that I've seen in this as we've tried to evaluate it again. That certainly it is to be a life-altering experience to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. And we see that in verse 19, that let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, we're not just to study the Bible, just to be studious, if you please. There are some folks that actually are professional students. That's all they seem to ever do in life, is just to study. The truth of the matter is that if you do watch some of these, shows where they are challenged, where you have to think real fast and answer the question real fast, a lot of it's trivia that would have no effect on life, nor government or eternity or nothing else. It's just the fact of studying. A lot of folks do well on those programs that have studied a lot of trivia. But we're not wanting to study trivia tonight. We want to study things of eternal consequence. And so tonight, we want to just look into this thought for a few moments. First of all, I want to just talk about the act of study. The act of study, or participating in it. Now, we ought to be studying with a purpose. With a purpose. If we were to take this out of context for a moment, put it in a secular context, we would think in terms, really, of most of us, if we're going to study, we want it to produce in our lives. I've taken certain courses in trade schools and colleges so that it would benefit me. I never was prone to want to just do something for doing its sake. I think there's sometimes a mental exercise is all right, but I always like to see a profit in it somehow. to compensate for the time that we spend in the effort. And tonight, as we think about studying the Word of God, we ought to be studying it with a purpose. We ought to study it, but in the case, as we think of it, it ought to be with a purpose. And let me just give you a couple of things in regard to that thought tonight. Certainly, we ought to study with this purpose to progress spiritually. To progress spiritually. Now, we ought to be better as a Christian tonight than we were when we were first saved. I think we ought to know a whole lot more about God tonight as we have been removed by time from that initial experience of the grace of God in our lives, that we have progressed and done something that is a benefit to us, and with a purpose tonight that we might progress spiritually. I realize that the world does not understand the benefit of the Christian experience and a walk with Christ. But I'll tell you what, if you're a believer tonight and you walk with Christ, you'll know that there's no other place like that place of walking with the Lord. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, as he was instructed to teach the children of Israel and to speak to them, the Lord said, "You tell them that my ways are not their ways. Their thoughts are not my thoughts." He said there is a way that you can walk. And he said that it was a beneficial way, really. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And if we're going to be what we ought to be, we need to be studying in this sense, with a purpose that we might progress spiritually, because it'll put us on a higher plane. It'll put us in a position that we might cope with the experiences of life in a far better fashion than we would otherwise. And it might lead us into the purpose of life that we've really been longing for and looking for and have not found. Prior to this, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God. So we ought to study with the thought of progressing spiritually, and then we ought to be studying to find peace for the mind as well as the soul. Now, the Bible teaches that God made peace between himself and man. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We understand that there is, if you please, an armistice. Sometimes folks don't get the message. For the mind, it does not eliminate the fact that a war has ceased. In my lifetime, and it's not been too many years ago, one of the islands in the Philippines, there was finally a Japanese fellow that came out of those mountains. Whenever the Americans had made their way back into the Philippines, and you remember the great statement of MacArthur, he said, "I shall return." And they did return, and this Japanese soldier had made his way back up into the mountains, and he'd lived all of these years in the mountains. He had been told that he was never to surrender. Therefore, he had just removed himself from the scene of the battle and never did surrender. Now, that did not mean that the war was not ended, because the war had been ended for a long time. But he didn't know that. And I'm afraid sometimes that Christians are like that. There is a peace between God and man. But because of a lack of information, sometimes folks just don't enjoy it and bask in that which is ours. Now, certainly, ours is peace with God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the peace of God that we should enjoy as a heritage sometimes does not come because we don't know what the Bible really has to say about it. And so I make the statement like this again, to find peace for mind as well as soul. Now we know that the soul issue has been settled in Jesus Christ. But we need to know something of Him that it might be settled in our minds, that we might be at peace. Folks can live a troubled life that is to no avail and unnecessary because of a lack of knowledge. And I present to you that we ought to be studying tonight with a purpose, to progress in spirituality and to find peace of mind, or for the mind, as well as the soul. And certainly then, as we think about the act of studying, we do want to get in good information. We want to get good information. I think it's important to know authors that you're going to read of. There are certain names that will stand out to my mind whenever I'm looking for a book. And sometimes I'll buy a book just because of the author. But you sometimes walk in one of these used bookstores. They're not necessarily a Christian bookstore. But if you look in it, they'll have a little bitty place back there that they'll call religious. Most of it will be Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or something of the cults. But now and then you'll find a name. And it'll be a book worthwhile. I always enjoyed every year that I could when I lived in the Fort Worth area. I lived up in Arlington, Fort Worth area. And there was always a Jewish women's book sale. And they didn't really think a lot of Christianity, so they'd throw these black books back there on the table. And I've got some of the greatest treasures that a man could possess. I have a book by G. Campbell Morgan on the Acts of the Apostles. I gave, I think, 30 or 35 cents for it. It was a treasure to me. But that name was one that I knew and knew well and have enjoyed it. And there's another that I picked up about the same price, The Crisis of the Christ. And a well-written book. And it may be back in print now, I'm not sure. But at times it would be have been out of print. But so the author then is going to make some difference as we want to get good information. But you'll always get good information about God from this book that's before me tonight. And I want to just give you some thoughts and examples here. You need to get study to show yourself approved unto God. Get some good information and along the vein or the thought of God's plan for missions. You'd be surprised how many folks don't really have any concept of world missions. Most of the time, they'll think in terms of maybe some massive meeting or something of that nature. But the book of Acts gives us a clear plan that God has, and it'll work in this age. I'm going to give it to you just as briefly as I can tonight. But it starts with the church that our Lord Jesus Christ built. Now, understand that all churches ultimately have their foundation in Christ, if they're true churches. But our Lord did say that He would build His church. So it started with one, but it's progressed, and each one of them individual in its existence, yet we have an association in fact of doctrine tonight. But in this book that we have, there was a church in Jerusalem. And it reached over into Antioch. And there we find that the center of Christianity seemed to be moving away from Jerusalem and into Antioch. And it was basically one where now you've gone beyond Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Now you're reaching over here, reaching out into the uttermost part of the earth. And God brought together a couple of fellows. And one of them named Barnabas, the other we know as the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. They came to that church. They instructed there for a time. And then the Spirit of the Lord spake to that church and said, lay your hands on and send out those that I have called. And God had been working in the heart and life of Barnabas and Saul. And the church accepted the responsibility and did what they were supposed to do. They laid hands on those men and they sent them out. They made a circuit and they established church after church where they could. Even on the way back home, they would stop by and they encouraged the believers. And in some cases, they ordained leadership in those churches, as in the time that had elapsed, men had risen to some heights in spirituality and to the forefront as leaders, and the hand of God was upon them. And they were encouraged and ordained into that gospel ministry in that particular area. And then these men came back to Antioch where they started from and they gave report. They rehearsed all that God had done with them in that circuit. I see in that God's plan for the age. Now, you can follow it through the book of Acts. This occurs time and again. But the plan of God today was not just massive meetings without any follow-up, but it is the call of God in the life of individuals and the responsibility of the church being accepted by that congregation. Send those men out, and wherever they could, they'd preach. And whenever there was the opportunity, they would start a local New Testament church. They'd leave that church in the hands of some measure of leadership in that place, and they'd go out to another. And in the meantime, by the way, that church would be working in the fact and trying to send out as well. I think it's important for folks to do that. But that's the plan of missions today, that God's going to use a church to start another church, start another church, start another church. And while this church over here that started this one, that's maybe starting another one over here, this one's starting another over there again, and repeating itself time and time again. I wish it was 100, but thank God we've been privileged to help start 4 churches out of this church, out of this congregation. As men have come by, they've spoken of the burden of God upon their hearts, and some of them we've helped extensively, others we helped. Well, most of them always we did help extensively. And I think it's right and important that we do so. When the Lord said, send them out, it didn't mean tell them, be warm, be filled, and send them out the door. Do something for them as they go. Amen. But I believe we ought to study so that we'll know God's plan for the age. If we reason as men reason, what we need to do is get this massive organization working. But God's plan is this church starting another church. It doesn't seem like it's going to be one of those things that you can really go over to the fellowship meeting and boast of. But it does work. And churches are built. Believers are increased. And they grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to study to get information tonight. And to see God's plan for missions. And then on a local basis, as well as sending folks out, I believe we ought to study to get information on God's plan of support. Now, I'm thankful to the Lord for this church and the fact that I have never had to speak just constantly on the matter of giving. I have a philosophy, and it's mine, whether it's good or bad. I've had this in mind. I never did like the idea of having to take an offering. That always sounds like force. But I sure appreciate folks bringing an offering. Amen. Bringing an offering. The Bible said that we're to lay by in store as God's prospered. That sounds like folks bring it and lay it by and put it in the storehouse. And it works. But I believe we ought to know God's plan of support today. And we've had people to come, and for some sense, some reason or another, they've never understood. We've had people come by and they want an offering. But the truth of the matter is, those folks, many times, they live in a better house, they drive a better car than the folks that are supporting this church. And yet, they never conceive of that in their minds. They need to understand that there's folks that sacrificially give, that the work of God can go on. Amen. It's important. And so we need to study with the thought in mind of God's plan of support. And then Paul said something again in to Timothy that we ought to give ourselves to the pursuit of the things of God so we know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. Now, I heard a preacher one time preach on that, and he approached it more in the individual conduct in the services. And I think that we ought to have appropriate conduct in the house of God. I think that folks ought to take it seriously, that it is God's house, dress accordingly, act accordingly, and all that's associated with that. But what he's saying is that we ought to know something about the order of services. Some years ago, as I've mentioned many times, I was privileged to go over into the Library of West Africa. One of the questions that I was asked in a class that I taught, this came from the layman. There were two of us preachers that went over to Liberia, Brother Weldon Spracklin. He's pastoring up in Michigan at the time. And I was pastoring here. This was just an infant church at the time. We had moved over into this portion of the building by that time, but it was not very many years that this church had been in existence, and it was a joy for me to go. But one of the questions I would ask in this layman's class is, he taught the pastors, I teach the laymen, and they always had questions. One of them asked me, well, how do you conduct the services in your church? And I began to rehearse to them because I'd seen the order of services there. And I was able to tell them very plainly that they would not feel out of place nor uncomfortable in our services because we had a means of conduct that would be much similar to that which they were used to. But how do you get such an approach? You get it from the Word of God. You find out that early church would meet. I don't know a lot about the singing. I think probably that early church sang a lot of the Psalms. Just literally sang the Psalms themselves because they're Psalms. But they would sing. And one of the things that was basic and very important to that early church was that they had the preaching of the Word of God. Now, when you get that correct, you can throw in the invitation at the end and a lot of things that you can do. But that's the behavior that Paul is talking about to Timothy, so he know how to behave in the house of God, so there'll be a semblance of order to that service. Now, God is not the author of confusion. And I've been in services that seem somewhat confused. And I may have been confused in the service, but the service wasn't confused. There's a difference. Sometimes I might get confused about things. But nonetheless, to behave, just we need to get the information so that we know how to behave in the house of God. And so we see then that it is important then that we study. The act of study itself. The act of studying, we need to think on the right things. That means if you're going to study, you need to study the right things. I recommend well-written books by godly men. But above all else, I recommend the Word of God. Amen. If you got one book to study, let it be the Bible. Let it always be the Bible. Now, I've been privileged to have some good books in my library. And not a large library, but it's about all I can read anyway. And so it's about all my mind will hold if I got all the information in them. But study the Word of God. Especially study the Word of God. Amen. It will constantly remind you of who you are. I don't read through this book. And one of the controversies come up again. We discussed it some just before the service. But in the state, again, there's the movement among the selectors of the public school books. They're afraid that somebody might teach that God created things. And they're doing everything that they can to stop any entrance of such discussion even into the schools today. But you read this Bible and you'll find out who you are. You're a creation of God, first of all. And if you've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. But it'll remind us of who we are. And it'll remind you and it'll remind me how to live. I mean, it just give us an order of conduct in our lives. and it will give wisdom in all decisions that ever have to be made. I would recommend that no decision ever be made excluding the Word of God from that decision. But always include the Word of God. If you ever lack wisdom, I mean you're thrown into a case that you don't know how to handle, you ask of God and He'll give you wisdom liberally so that you can make the decisions that you need to make in life. You ask me, is every question answered? In the great extent of that answer, yes. But not every specific question may be worded like you want to word it. But if you don't find that exact question in the Bible, you'll find the principle in the Bible, and you can make the decision on that basis, and it'll be correct. So we need to study to get wisdom to make the decisions of life we need to make. But that's the active study. Second thing in our text is the approval. We are told that a workman not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Again, the approval is important to people. I dare say there's probably not a child that's ever been raised that didn't want the approval of their parents. It's kind of natural just to want the approval of the parents. And so they'll perform in life somehow or another, especially to get attention, but the hopes are for approval. And then we'd like to have some measure of approval for others. Whether you have studied it enough to know or realize it tonight or not, that a pastor has to have the approval of the outside world. I'm not talking about necessarily their evaluation of his message, but they approve of his conduct of life. That they see something in him that is in harmony with what he's going to preach. And that's a requirement in the Word of God. But we want to have the approval of others. And to be used of God tonight, we must have His approval. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word truth. It would be very difficult for God to use a person, I mean in an extended way, in a special service, without they had the biblical understanding of that particular office or that call in their lives. They would lead a confused life. They would oftentimes, most times, lead a defeated life and never accomplish what God really wanted of them. For God to use us, we're going to have His approval. And He put that approval upon us. Then He spoke of a workman that need not be ashamed, unashamedly, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are some things about the Bible that we have to understand, and there is some measure of dividing it. Now, I'm not talking about what the modernist thinks about the Bible and saying, well, it only contains the Word of God, and it's up to man to determine what portion is inspired. Now, that's a very liberal thought today, but it's very prevalent in most of the pulpits of this land. This Bible is to be accepted only as containing the Word of God, and man has to figure out which one's inspired and which one's not. But that's not what we're talking about tonight as we think about rightly dividing the Word of truth. We have to understand a set of circumstances sometimes. For example, in this Bible, every word that is recorded of a conversation may be exactly as that conversation went. But it may have been an unsaved man that's speaking that's quoted. And so you need to understand that. In other words, rightly dividing the word of truth. One fellow said, I can prove that you ought to go out and hang yourself and do it quickly. He just reached here and said, Judas went out and hanged himself. And then he reached over here and said, that thou doest, do quickly. And he put it together. But we need to rightly divide it. We need to put it in context. It's what I want us to see. in this particular setting tonight. Thought in relation to writing the divine word of truth is that every believer must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I think many times we think at the judgment seat of Christ we're talking about conduct, and we are. But do you realize we'll also give an account of what we know about this book, how we spent our time and how we gave ourselves to the pursuit of the things of God? It's important tonight. As we think about appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll account for how we build our building. The Bible speaks of building buildings or building the things of God. We'll account of our building, and then we'll explain our motives for building. Did we build for the right purpose? Did I do it for myself, or was I doing it for the glory of the Lord? A man can do the right thing with the wrong motive. Now, the right thing will stand, but the motive will rob him of a blessing and a reward in the process of time. Final thought tonight, and I'm going to let you go. I thought earlier of the words that the great preacher K.C. Poole often quotes when he comes in, that Elizabeth Taylor said to her fifth husband, "Not going to keep you long." I'm going to try to let you off early. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You can glorify God.
Amen.
You can glorify God in your life and in mine. Let's stand together. I think we'll offer one verse of invitation, Doug, just to give folks an opportunity. So if the musicians come and rest, we'll bow your heads for a moment. We'll pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the tenderness of the people, and thank you for the day that you've given us. And Lord, we've enjoyed some sweet things today, just to be in the services in the house of God, then to be able to come to the Lord's table, and now to feast on the Word of God for this moment that's been ours. And Father, we pray that you'll bless in hearts and lives. There might be a need in somebody's life, and they'd like to respond to the invitation. So we'll trust you to work in that life, and your will to be done. We pray in Christ's name.